Yeah, this is my first time. We'll see how it goes, so go easy on me. But if Dad can do it every week, it can't be that hard, so we'll see. it must be inspirational. Anyway, I got up here a few months ago and gave a bit of testimony along with a few other people that day on what's happened in my life in the past 12 to 18 months, and it's been very challenging, but I'm glad it's happened. Mostly from a health perspective, I've really struggled. And it must have been a couple of months ago I got up here and testified to God's goodness and his faith and what he'd done on my life and how he's seen me through that period. And although I'm not out of the woods with it completely yet, I know that I will be, and I know that when I come out of the other side, it will be through God that he's made me a better person, and he's made me a stronger character and the right character for it. But during this period, I've realised, going back last year, that God was challenging me in a few different ways. As well as helping me and being there as I was asking him to be, I was being challenged. And this started last year. I didn't act on it last year, so I'm acting on it now, so forgive me. But the two things that he challenged me on, the first one, God's been really faithful to me, as I said, in my professional life, which, as everybody knows, has an impact on your personal life then as well. But I felt God saying to me, you need to now be a witness for Christ. You know, I've been a Christian since day dot, as long as I can remember, and God has always been there by my side. But have I gone out into every situation and shown that and let God resonate through me? Probably not. So what I'm talk about this morning hopefully might be relevant for some of you, but it's really what's relevant to me and what God is working on with me. And I'm not the finished article, it's a work in progress, but it's some of my thoughts and some of the things that he's brought me to, some of the scriptures that he's brought me to put it into perspective and for me to understand what I need to do and the reasons behind it. And thankfully I'm already on that path now, and I'm already starting to do that. But as well as that, the other thing that God has spoke, I got up here I know when I was up the other month, I said how I've never felt it before, but he has spoken to me. I can vividly remember sitting in my living room last year, and he spoke to me. And on the back of that, I know that at the time, Dad was talking about people in the church, and especially young people, and potentially what you can get involved in and what you should do. And I felt he was telling me to preach. I have no earthly burning desire to stand in front of you and preach this morning. I'm pretty nervous. So I didn't do it. But I'm here now. So this morning, I'm going to try and preach on being a witness for Christ. So it's a bit of a two for one. The two things that he's challenged me on, first of all, preaching, and second of all, being a better witness. That's what I'm going to try and talk to you about. It all started with me. There's a song that we now sing. We haven't sung it this morning, but Christ Be All Around Me. And I don't know when we started singing this song, whether it was the beginning of this year or at some point last year, but it was when I was really weak. And my job, I cover the length and breadth of the UK in a week. I'm in Scotland Monday to Wednesday next week, and then I'm in Birmingham Thursday, London Friday, and the wife might remember who I am when I get home next Friday, hopefully. This song helped me so much. It was on a Sunday, and midweek, if I had it on in the car, it was me crying out to God and asking for his help and protection that week, because I honestly didn't know where each day was going to come from. What was I going to be able to go to that particular meeting? Was I going to be able to manage? And the words to that song, some of the lyrics, you look at it and it says, my defense, by my side. It says, as I rest, bring me peace. That was the other problem I had. Once I'd had a busy day and I'd managed to do those things, you try and switch off. And then because I knew that I was going to have to do it again tomorrow whilst feeling so weak, I was struggling to rest. But this song really, really helped me. And I kind of made it my song to God. It's from a very selfish perspective, every week to come and sing above and below me, before and behind me, Christ be all around me. And it really worked, because the only way that I'm stood here today with how bad I felt last year and earlier this year is through him. But as I've started to get a lot better, I've still sang this song, and it must have dawned on me, I don't know whether it was, I can't remember whether it was in the car listening to it or here on a Sunday, that I'd missed the point. And there's two ways to look at this song, and I'd sung it from a very selfish perspective, rightly so for me at the time, and God helped me with that. But those words again, above and below me, before and behind me, Christ be all around me. But there's a third line there that I was hadn't really interpreted or given much thought to, which is in every eye that sees me. And I started to come on a Sunday and I'd sing this song when we sang it, along with others, and I was much more upbeat and I was very happy and I wasn't desperate. It wasn't me in desperation saying, you've got to help me this week. It was saying, I know you've done it before, I'm going to have a good week, do it again. But it started to make me think, that line, in every eye that sees me, well, for me personally, it was God saying to me, okay, it's your turn. If you want me in every situation of your life, 7 days a week, you've got to take me along for the ride with you, and I've got to shine through you. And then you read the words back, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. So it's no longer about I need God's help. Yes, I do, but it's about me saying that God is going to make a way for me. When I go to Scott, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to drive up to St. Andrews. It's going to take me 6 hours, and I'm going to be with people until Wednesday. But he's going to give me opportunities between now and then. I've not got Jesus Christ written on my business card. And if you know me, I'm not like that. But what I'm trying to achieve now is for people to see that I'm different. They always did, but I want people to then question that. Growing up, I'd go to Youth for Christ meetings, or we'd be at Hollybush, or you've probably said it, and the old line would be, especially in youth meetings, that you've got to go out into the world and people have got to look at you and say, what's he got? I want it. Is it what drugs is he on? Well, I'm not on drugs. I've got a personal relationship with God. And that's what I'm trying to portray now, is to show people through your actions and how you treat them, that you are different. And then they will ask that. They will ask that question. And that's me taking God with me everywhere I go and making sure that he shines through me. And I know that in doing that, he will bless me and he will look after me. And hopefully, although I still have my worries each week, I know that in doing that, those worries can take a back seat and I can concentrate on other things. But moving on from that, one thing that, again, has helped me, and it's because I kind of looked at that and I said, right, I need a different attitude. I need a different approach to life 7 days a week to make sure that it's not just when I'm with family or it's not just when I'm at church that God shines through me, that it's all the time. And there's a really good song from a long time ago now, but a band called Delirious that don't exist anymore, I don't think. That as a youth group, we would go and see, I don't know, we've probably seen them 3 or 4 times live, and they had albums in the charts and different things like that. And one of their songs was History Maker. History Maker basically just says, I am going to be a history maker. I'm going to be a speaker of truth to all mankind. And when you listen to it, it's a very powerful song, the way that it's written and the way that they've composed it. But that's I look at everything like I do with my work life, and that's kind of a mission statement for me for my professional Christian life, to be a history maker. What does a history maker is quite an extreme statement, but collectively together, speaking to people, each day of your life, you're making a difference and you're potentially changing their future, and therefore it becomes part of their history. And when it says I'm going to be a speaker of truth to all mankind, that's something that keeps me in check, and that's something that each day, if you go with that attitude to wherever you go, I think you're going to be doing something right. So as I say, I'm very much a work in progress on this, and you can see what I'm talking to you about is very personal to me at the moment. But when God put this on my heart, I looked into it a little bit further and I split it into 3 sections, which was why. Why do I need to be a witness for God? Once I tackled that, I looked at how. So are there any examples? How is it going to then relate to me personally? And finally, and probably most important from, is where am I going to get the strength from? So we've got why, how, and where from. and I'm hoping it might be relevant to some of you today. So, why? It's pretty simple. We can all agree that going out and being a witness to God in any situation, it brings people to Christ, which is a good thing. I look at this church as an example. Since I joined, how old was I? I don't know. How old were you? Goodness knows. I was probably single figures when we joined this church. And there's people still here today that I know on a daily basis are doing works in this church and elsewhere that inspire me. John, Nina, you guys are here. I mean, and there'll be people that I don't mention. Sam now doing your street pastor stuff. And I look at that for inspiration. So it's pretty simple. Why should we be a witness for Christ? We know why, because there's people out there that don't know that God loves them and that they can come and he can come and live within you and you can be saved. But I don't know about you, but I can get a little bit lazy sometimes. So there is a few scriptures that have helped me. Two in particular as to why we should do this. One is quite nice, and I call it the blessing, and the other one is a little bit of a warning, but they're both found in Luke. So the first one is Luke chapter 6, verse 22. What blessings await you when people hate you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? And the next verse goes on to talk more specifically about blessings in heaven. But my biggest challenge, my friends know I'm a Christian, my family know I'm a Christian, the circles that I move in Warrington all know who I am, and even my employers know that I am a Christian. I'm a minister's son, I'm at church on a Sunday, twice on a Sunday for the past 12 months to get Charlie into a Christian school at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they know this, and they see that I'm different because I don't swear and I don't laugh at the jokes that they do, but I haven't taken it any further, and my biggest worry has been, if I do, how will that impact my professional life? I'll be treated differently. I'll be treated differently by my boss, I'll be treated differently by my peers, my opportunities will change, I'll be out of that circle of trust, and then how does that impact me personally? How does that impact my finances, my family? And that is my overriding worry with being a witness for Christ. But this verse tells me, people might hate you, people probably will mock you, people might even curse you as evil, I hope not, because you follow God, but you'll be blessed. Now, I think in particular here, it's talking about blessings in heaven, and it does go on to talk about that. But I know that if I'm a witness for Christ now, God's going to bless me now, and he's going to bless you now. And one day, I'll reap the benefits of that. It might not be easy, and I might be right. Who knows? I might stand up here in 6 months and tell you I've been fired and I'm doing something completely different. We shall see. But I've got to put my faith in God and say that in any situation, even those situations where I'm worried, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, the tougher bit, which helps me, because this if I wake up one day and go, do you know what, I'm a bit tired and I'm feeling off, and there's an opportunity that comes and I pass it by, this acts as a warning to me. And I'd never read this passage of scripture before, but Luke 12 verses 8 to 9 basically says, whoever acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also be acknowledged before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. We haven't got a choice. It's pretty simple. Go out there and be a witness, because it's part of your Christian contract. It's part of your relationship with God, is that is what he expects. And your eternal life beyond this earthly life is based on you doing that. And that really hit me, because maybe I'll do it 3 days a week, maybe I'll do it 4 days a week, maybe somebody will cut in front of a queue at a petrol station when I'm late for a meeting and I'll lose my rag and I'll just go, well, I've had an off day. I'm not saying I won't, but these scriptures, and especially that second one, will try and help me. You've got the blessings, you know the positives, but you also know that ultimately you don't have a choice. It's not just about wanting those blessings. What if I decide and go, do you know what, God, I'm happy with my lot, see you in heaven, I'm going to have an easy life and you're going to look after me? No. There's a warning there. So through those things, that keeps me in check, for want of a better phrase. And those two scriptures have really helped me, because it tells me, it's like I've heard lots of preachers say, it's not going to be easy, especially not in this day and age, but it's going to be worth it. So that helped me with the why. The how. So how does everybody do this? Some of you will be experts at it, and I look up to you, and hopefully some of you, like me, might be on a path where you need to try and get a little bit better at this. So I remember years ago, there was a craze, what would Jesus do? And everybody wore WWJD bracelets, which I obviously didn't at the time. And that was your trademark. But it's pretty simple with the how. Like we said, it's pretty simple as why do we need to do it? It's pretty simple with the how. In every situation now, I'm trying to keep myself in check and say, well, what would Jesus do? If you do that, you're being a witness. Even if you're not stood in front of everybody saying, do you know what God can do for you? And do you know there's a heaven? And do you know there's a hell? Just through thinking, what would Jesus do in this situation? You're going to inspire people to wonder why you're different. But again, what do the scriptures say? So 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason behind the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So you can look at that in a couple of different ways. It's quite powerful, really, because it's allowing you to be prepared to defend your faith. So not only be a witness, but it's allowing you to stand up for it, which we're probably going to have to do, I imagine, as the years go by, more and more. So I look at this again, that in my actions day to day, and trying to be a better person and a better witness for God, I should have to make a defense, because people should question me. People should say, why are you different? This guy's just done wrong to you. Why have you forgiven him? And you can then make a defense for your actions. But it is also, you can look at it and say that God is giving you that ability to not just roll over, but to stand up for what you believe in, but do it with gentleness and respect. That's really important to me, because not that I get into heated conversations very often about Christianity at the moment, but I do in work, and this, again, helps me out, because it gives me the ability to go and to talk to people about God and to stand up for what you believe in, and be strong and confident, which sometimes people can perceive Christians as weak, not weak, no, that's the wrong word, but very timid and humble, and not wanting to cause an argument or a confrontation. But if you do it in the right way, make sure make sure you stand up for what you believe in. You know, what God's saying to me is that in every situation, there's an opportunity for you to stand out and let God be projected through you. Now, I've got some examples. I went through a couple of the examples with Emily, I don't know, on Friday. And also, although she did say, well, they're very good examples, they are all of a similar tone. So I'll try and be quick. They all could be quite sad examples. And it's not necessarily people, the first two aren't necessarily an example of being a witness. But I've told you that my biggest worry is how my employer could change the way, or will change the way that they treat me, because I'm a Christian. That is such a small price to pay compared to what some people in history, and currently in Iraq, Syria, China, presumably still Libya, people go through on a daily basis, and how it affects their lives and the choices they make. Because the easiest thing for me from an earthly perspective when I'm in work is to just switch off from it. Not do anything wrong. I'm not going to be doing anything that I shouldn't be, but not to let God resonate through me. But there's a couple of examples of where people have looked at their situation and they've made a choice and they've stood for God. And it's inspired me, and it's put it into perspective that what I have to deal with, or my worries that God is helping me with, are very, very small. First one being Columbine 1999, April 20th in Colorado. A lot of you, I imagine, will be familiar with the name Columbine. Where two students killed 15 people. These guys were very messed up, I think, in different ways. And when they went into the school, they targeted certain demographics. One of which was the popular kids, which are called jocks, I'm told, in America, the football players. And another area that they targeted was the religious element in the school, which was mostly Christian. And there's two people in particular that day that you guys might know more about it than I do, but that have inspired me and the stories that have followed from what happened that day. And the first was a lady called Rachel Scott, who I believe, in fact, Rachel was only 17, and she was the first person who was unfortunately killed that day. And she was just outside eating her lunch on an outside bench area. And the two guys knew Rachel personally. How well, I don't know, but they knew her, and they knew that she was a Christian. And the only question they asked her was, as the gun was pointed to her, do you still believe in your God now? Every earthly instinct within me and 99% of other people would be to buy time, evade the question, even lie, just and repent afterwards. And just because you think about your family, you think about your friends, what's going to happen? Her reply was, you know I do. She paid the ultimate sacrifice that day for her faith. But what she doesn't know is that she's inspired me to put my problems into perspective. And she's probably inspired other people. And having done a little bit more research, there's a film this year which has got a couple of $1 million budget, which is being released in Hollywood, called I'm Not Ashamed. And the lady that's playing Rachel Scott has been in other things as well. I'm not exactly sure what, but she's a relatively famous actor, and that's coming out at the back end of this year. I pray that it puts a good slant on it, but it's Rachel's life leading up to what happened that day. And the fact that the film is called I'm Not Ashamed gives you a tone for what it should be. So Rachel paid a big price that day, but now she's somewhere better, and there's potentially going to be a film that might touch millions of people, to inspire people that this is in fact what you should do. The other lady that day was another young girl called Cassie, who they didn't know. Cassie, they just asked her. They just said, are you a Christian? They didn't know her, so it would have been very easy and very believable for her to say no, because they didn't kill everybody that day, shoot everybody that day, but she just said yes. She said yes. In that moment, she looked and she said yes. And there was a book written called She Said Yes about Cassie that was a bestseller in America a good few years ago now. And again, she's gone on to inspire people as well. And I'll say this again, but it just puts it into perspective. I look at my worries and what... I don't have anything like this on a daily basis. But it challenges me to say, in any situation that I face, if my faith is questioned or if my faith can play a part, let it. Because look at what other people have done. You know, they've paid the ultimate sacrifice. Last example. I'm going to get Pete in a minute. I haven't tested this, so I hope it works. I'm going to get Pete to play a clip, just an audio clip. It's about a minute long from a courtroom in America last year. When we went on holiday last year, we were in Florida, and Emily had asked somebody from Youth for Christ for an example of a church that we could go to. We thought it would be good to go and see what one of these big American churches is like. Although there was nobody there because it was Thanksgiving or something, but it was a very, very good church. And this was the first time I was introduced to this clip and what happened. But unfortunately, on the 17th of June last year, a very troubled person called Dylan Roof walked into the Emmanuel African Methodist Church in South Carolina. It was a midweek Bible study, and shot 9 people. And what happens in the States, which I didn't realize, is that what they call a bail hearing, which obviously this guy was never going to get bail, but it seems they always set bail in America at like $5 million or whatever, even for somebody convicted of or accused of something like this. And there's always an opportunity for them to go home until the trial. But at a bail hearing in the States, as in certain states, including South Carolina, the families of the victims are given the opportunity to give a statement. A lot of the time it's somebody else, it's a solicitor, because they're too emotional depending on what happens. But on this occasion, the guy who spoke on behalf of a lady called Myra Thompson. Myra Thompson was 59 years old. She was the wife of a local church minister. She was attending another church's prayer meeting, Bible study that week. And unfortunately, she was killed. And Anthony Thompson, who is on this clip, is her grandson. Now, I'm 28, and my grandparents are in their 80s, the ones that are still here. So I don't know how old Anthony Thompson is, but if his grandmother's 59, he'd be lucky if he's a teenager, let alone early 20s. We do have a picture of him, so you can make your own mind up on that. But he's very young, is all I would say. But what he did that day, when he addressed Dylan Roof, has really inspired me. Let's see if it works. Have you got the picture of him? I've done some Facebook stalking because it's inspired me to see who this guy actually is. So this is his Facebook profile page. The minister in Florida was actually just preaching on forgiveness that day, and he played a clip that was about 6 minutes long, and I think in total we heard three or potentially four witness statements. And it was very powerful because all those witnesses that day, the first thing they did was forgive this guy, which is blows my mind anyway, that somebody who's just killed your husband, your son, your grandma, whoever, you can stand there and you've got an opportunity to address him. If you do some research online, you can read into what the mainstream media said on this, and they were stunned because they said 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, it's very much, you'll never know what you've done to us, and you'll never know that. And some of the ladies that we heard in Florida last year, they were very emotional, but they were very, very convicted in the fact that they were forgiving this man. But that's not what hit me that day. That was amazing. But what hit me was, I said earlier that in any situation, you've got to try and find a reason for Christ to shine through you and to be a witness. So this guy, Anthony Thompson, he's lost his grandmother. He's 20 years old, maybe younger, maybe a little bit older. He's in front of the media. He's addressing the guy that's taken the grandmother away from them. He says, "We forgive you." But then he goes on to witness to him. He goes on to witness and says, "Repent, give your life to Christ, and he will change you. He says, you will be okay." And he finishes it by saying, "Do that." And he says that with conviction. He really means that. And, you know, that really hit me. And then we were driving wherever we were going to, probably a Walt Disney World or something after the meeting that day. And I'm driving along and I'm putting it into perspective. And I'm thinking, that guy is, by doing that, he's accepting that one day he will potentially spend eternity with Dylan. Dylan's not even been trialed yet. What will happen to him? Who knows? And I hope that, I have no idea where he's at now, but I hope that what Anthony Thompson said today, that day, to him, hit him. But for Anthony to be able to do that and to accept that if this guy listens to him, he's going to be with his grandmother and he's going to be with the rest of his family and he's going to spend eternity with them, that's really powerful. Really powerful, and it's one of the best examples I know of somebody being a witness for God when they didn't need to be, but he took that opportunity and he wanted to make his life better. So, where from? I wouldn't have had the strength, or potentially still, I don't know. I hope that none of us ever face a situation like that. I hope that we never have to challenge ourselves so much as to try and make that decision on what we would do. But having looked at the why do we need to, and having looked at the how, and right, where am I going to get not only the strength, but where am I going to get the knowledge from if somebody does challenge me? And this is again where some passages of scripture have helped me and God's introduced me to, that I try and use. One being Joshua 1 verse 9. This is my command: be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So that really helped me when I was struggling week by week anyway, but it also tells me that if I'm going to go out and be a witness to God, I can go with strength and courage because he's with me, and he's going to help me. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So he's telling me that I don't have to be timid about my faith. I'm going to have power, I'm going to have love, but he's going to make sure I've got the self-discipline that's needed, which is when if we go back to what we read earlier on, where it said, do it with the right attitude, basically. That's really helped me. But don't be ashamed of the test. I wouldn't say I was ashamed of it anyway, but I would worry that what my testimony would impact other things. So this is, again, encouraging me that I don't need to worry about that. But the most important one with the where from is, I found Luke is a really good book for stuff like this. And Luke chapter 12, verse 12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. So even if I go, right, I understand why, I understand how each day, what situations I can do this in, but I haven't got the knowledge for every situation to know what to say. Well, I've just got to trust, everybody's just got to trust that in that moment, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he will teach you at that time what you should say. Work life, social life, family, friends, neighbours, day-to-day routine, whatever it is for me, if I take that with me, I'm not going to get it right all the time, but if I trust in God, I know that he'll make sure I say the right thing, or at least hopefully I won't say the wrong thing anyway. You've been talking recently about, which is why I'm stood here today and other people have, in inspiring the younger generation to do more in the church. And this is a little bit off topic, but just to hopefully help some of you this morning. And this verse talks about the young, but I look at it, it's not just talking from an age perspective, it can be talking about your faith as well. So if you sat here this morning and you've not been a Christian for very long, take it that this is for you. And when you started to talk about that, I kind of thought, yeah, but you know, what do I know? I'm only young. But this has really helped me. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, how you live, how you love, your faith, and your purity. So I think as a church, we're moving forward with that at the moment, and we've seen examples of it off the past few weeks, which I've been blessed by. But I hope that encourages some of you, not just for, I mean, I know some of you are old hats at being a Christian, and you're there to inspire us, and I've known you for the best parts of most of my life, and I look at you for, as I said before, as examples and for inspiration. But there is some of us that can still say that we're young, or maybe young in our faith. But if that's the case, this really helps me, because it said don't perceive yourself as any less. Don't think that you're not up to the job, because you are.